It has been a week for the Orlando Magic, a really rough week. A lot of close games, a lot of close losses, enough to make you believe they're close, but enough to also make you believe they're still so far away. We're at the midpoint of the season. We'll talk about the Magic's game against the Washington Wizards coming up.
You are Locked On Magic. Your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is January 10th, 2022. My name is Philip Rosenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Of course, follow me on Twitter at @PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode of a Locked On Magic, we'll go over the Magic's loss to the Washington Wizards, how the Magic again fell apart late and just couldn't get over the hump, couldn't get that last little bit. Well, they're much closer to winning now, but certainly some big gut check moments coming here for the Magic. We'll also talk about Cole Anthony's play over the weekend and how all the buzz about Cole Anthony is warranted, but still have to remember this is a young guy figuring out the league still. We'll get to all that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to thank you all for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. No matter when you listen to us, whether it's in the morning, listening to some of our previous episodes, or when we do upload in the morning, when we upload, or whether you're listening to us throughout your day, we truly appreciate you making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Remember, available wherever you download podcasts, as well as streaming on YouTube. The Orlando Magic have been in the grind right now. Nine straight losses, their last four by really close margins. And again, you don't want to be too into moral victories. You don't want to be too, you don't want to be celebrating losing by just 10 or having a chance to win in the fourth quarter. You don't want to be celebrating that. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm celebrating that. I am merely pointing it out as a sign of progress, of the consistency in which this team is competing. Even the Milwaukee game, which they lost by 18, 136 to 118. Before then, the Magic were in that game in the fourth quarter. I've said this repeatedly throughout the course of the season. Throughout these games, there's been maybe a 5 to 6 minute stretch where the Magic just are dead, where they don't get anything. And that's where teams really kind of zoom ahead of them and really build up their leads and really build up their margin of victory. That's just kind of the reality of this team. They could play 42 minutes really, really well. I honestly could say right now they're playing probably around 44 to 45 minutes really, really well. The Magic are getting better and getting better about getting to the 48 minutes and playing a full game. I do think that there are wins on the schedule. I think that coming up, but I do think that this team is going to continue to compete as long as they stick with what they're doing and really stick with what they're doing. I think this team can put itself in a position to win. Now, I'm not saying win consistently. I'm not saying that they'll be able to win every single night, but they've got a win in them. And I think that much is abundantly clear. But the fact of the matter is, I could say all this stuff. I can point out all these positives. We can point out and say, oh, you know, these are good learning experiences going through close games, yada, 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 yada. And we know wins aren't the measure of success this season. We'll talk more about the midpoint of the season on tomorrow's episode. But the bottom line is this. This is a business about winning. You win or you lose games. There is a definitive measure of whether you're doing the right things and doing them well enough and right enough. And the fact of the matter is, the Magic have lost nine straight games. They have seven wins. They're 7-34 at the midpoint of the season. It is the worst 41-game start in Magic history. This does not feel like the worst team in Magic history. I want to make that clear. I think the 1992 team is probably the worst team in Magic history. Outside of Tracy McGrady, the 2004 team was really, really bad. I think there are lots of reasons to be excited about this group and excited about the players on this team. Obviously, we're still waiting for some injured players to return as well, and Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz. So I don't point all these out to be down about this team. I do think there's a lot of good on this team. I think there's a lot for fans to be excited about for a first year of a rebuild. You look for the positive signs. You look for the things that you can build and grow with, and they are all there. That's why I don't think there's panic. I don't think there's, you know, there's certainly a level of frustration, as there should be with the losing. But I don't think that there's a sense that the Magic are on the wrong path. And certainly, you know, I would argue this too. The Magic are doing their tanking work now so that they can win a little bit later in the season when their guys are healthy, when they have the guys that they want healthy. Sunday's game against the Washington Wizards followed a very similar pattern as Saturday's loss to the Detroit Pistons. You know, it was the Magic playing really good defense to make up for an offense that was just stuck in the mud. You know, just inconsistent scoring and inconsistently getting good shots. And that eventually came back to bite them in the fourth quarter. When Orlando needed shots to hold off Washington, when Orlando needed to get good shots to get close rebounds and prevent fast breaks, they didn't get them. And Washington was able to run, and Washington was able to finally crack the Magic's defense. They scored 35 points in the fourth quarter. Again, so could fatigue have played a factor on the back half of a really tough back-to-back, a Detroit-Orlando back-to-back? Absolutely. I'm not going to put it past that. This was a schedule loss on the schedule. So the fact that Magic even competed and controlled most of this game, I think, is a real testament. But the fact of the matter is, Cole Anthony had some nice scoring bursts. Terrence Ross had a 20-point burst where he scored 20 consecutive points for the Magic in the third quarter. Those are all warning signs that, you know, this Magic offense isn't sustainable. They're not doing things consistently enough to build toward winning, toward a win, toward a victory. And that's ultimately what the goal has to be. That's ultimately what this team has to be building toward. The fourth quarter, you know, the Magic gave up offensive rebounds. They gave up shots. They let Bradley Beal get going. They let Kyle Kuzma get going. And for the second straight game, the Magic didn't have an answer in the fourth quarter. Orlando's typically been a good fourth quarter team. Cole Anthony has been very good in the fourth quarters, but for the last two games, he struggled to score in the fourth quarter. And ultimately, that's winning time. As much as I don't like the use of the term clutch for a team like the Magic, they have to win close games. They're not blowing anybody out. They have to play when the pressure is the highest, and that time is coming up against them. Orlando led for most of this game. They looked really sluggish early on in the first quarter, but they buckled down defensively. They played really, really well. They got plenty of deflections and steals throughout the course of the game. I really love the Magic's defense in this game. Again, you give up 102 points. You should win those games. Like Orlando's defense the last two nights, 102 points, and I think 97 against Detroit. Those should be wins. And if I'm Jamal Mosley, I'm pointing to the defense and saying, if we play defense like that and add in some of the offense that we're missing right now, we're going to win our share of games. So again, you could find positives if you want. It's still about putting all the pieces together. It's still about getting everything in a line. And again, you know, I know this is a refrain that I say all the time. This Magic team is like six or seven things they have to do. They have to do all six or seven. That's the reality of their margin for error right now, especially with all the injuries they have. And, you know, missing Wendell Carter these last two games, I honestly think that was the difference. If Wendell Carter works really well as a hub in the offense, they run a lot of stuff through him in the high post. Missing him and not having him on the floor really, really hurt this team. Really, really made it difficult for this team to operate and function offensively, to get the cuts and screens that they want, to rebound consistently. Washington killed the Magic on the glass throughout much of the game. You know, again, not so much the offensive glass. There's just a constant presence on the boards. I mean, Kyle Kuzma with 20-plus rebounds. You know, that he had 22 rebounds, including 20 defensive rebounds. So the Wizards did a really good job controlling the glass. The Magic Mo Bamba's big, but he doesn't have size. He doesn't play big. It remains one of the big criticisms of him and one of the reasons why the Magic are probably going to move on from him. It's beginning to feel like they're going to move on from him, either coming up here at the trade deadline or in the offseason when he hits restricted free agency if his price comes too big. They really miss Wendell Carter. I do think if the Magic had Wendell Carter, they would have won both these games. I mean, we're talking about a winning streak on this Monday morning. But the unfortunate reality is you have to play with who you got. And Orlando just struggled. You know, they just struggled to put all those pieces together. And again, just get over the hump and do the little, do that last little bit. Look, what the Magic are working on now, what the Magic are trying to do right now is the most difficult part. And once you get that down, then you're going to start seeing the team play a whole lot more consistently. Again, I do think the Magic are close. I think they're close to figuring things out. But at the end of the day, they've got to stick and commit to what works for them. They've got to stick and commit to moving the basketball, which is something they've really struggled to do these last two games. And that's just a very basic premise of this offense. You can't this offense invites you to over dribble and overplay your individual hand, but it requires the discipline to keep the ball moving because with the freedom that you've been given. And I think that's an area where the Magic are struggling a lot right now. The Washington Wizards made the plays down the stretch. Bradley Beal hit a couple big shots. Orlando just could not answer. They were able to get the lead down to two thanks to some missed free throws by the Wizards. And Orlando did get a three-pointer with a chance to win the game at the buzzer, but Bradley Beal blocked Gary Harris's three, and Chuma Okeke was unable to get the putback to go in time. The Washington Wizards defeat the Orlando Magic 102-100. We'll go over the box score coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, a quick word from our pals at Built Bar. Look, Built Bar is the protein bar that you want to eat. You know, we've all tried some of those protein bars that we might see in the grocery store, at the convenience store. There's a lot of these really kind of bad protein bars. You know, they don't taste right. They say cookies and cream, but it doesn't taste like cookies and cream. They have a ton of calories, like 300 calories. It's essentially a meal. You don't want a meal. You want a snack. You want something that's going to give you that little energy boost in your day, but not make you feel guilty or, frankly, weighed down at the end. And you want chocolate, too. I'm guilty of it, too. We all want a little chocolate in our lives. And that's why Built Bar is the protein bar for you. It's going to help you finish those New Year's resolutions, at least get to February with them. I'm not even saying to the end of the year. Just get through the month with your New Year's resolutions. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Certainly much healthier for you than a candy bar, and certainly going to give you that energy you want as well. There's so many flavors to choose from, whether it's coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and so many more. And in fact, Built Bar is always coming out with new limited time flavors, so check out built.com often to see what's new. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. We want to thank you for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. For your next listen, go check out the Locked On Now podcast. They have nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. Listen to Locked On Now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch it on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel today. Let's go over the final box score for you real fast as the Orlando Magic fall to the Washington Wizards 102-100. Again, you look at that score, that's a game that the Magic put themselves in a position to win. And again, that's all you can ask for. I tell you this all the time. Close games are coin flips. They're about making plays, but you know, sometimes the shots don't fall. The Magic have played enough of these close games lately that the coin flip's going to flip their way at some point. You know, they got hit with an impossible loss last week. They played a really strong game. Against the Chicago Bulls the other night, on Monday night last week as well. They played a really strong game against Philadelphia 76ers. They put themselves again in a position to win. They rallied really well to give themselves a chance against Detroit on Saturday. Just couldn't come up with the shots or consistently get good shots to win that game. And then the same thing kind of happened against Washington, where they lost a lead. Again, some of it just their bench lineups just not able to sustain some scoring. And then a big part of it is their lack of execution down the stretch, their inability to get good quality shots to keep themselves in the game. Again, second straight game, Orlando shoots below 40% from the floor. Their offense was a real big challenge for the team throughout. Terrence Ross, though, leads the way with 32 points, 13 for 20 shooting, 2 for 4 from deep. a rare game where the Magic's bench had a lot of positive play, a lot of pluses on that plus minus board for the bench. So again, this feels like a game you have to win when that happens. The Terrence Ross at one point tied a franchise record with 20 straight points in the third quarter, 20 consecutive points for the Magic in the third quarter. A big reason why the Magic were able to zoom into the lead, take I think as much as a 7-point lead, was Terrence Ross. He did everything that every Magic player and Magic fan expects of him. He came off screens, just got buckets, just set up his own shot really well. The Magic did a good job setting him up to just a really strong game from Terrence Ross. This is the game you expect from Terrence Ross. And you know, again, he has these games occasionally where he just gets hot. You believe in the hot hand or not. He just got hot and made a lot of really good plays. And again, this is exactly what you want from Terrence Ross. This is exactly the way the Magic need him to play. Gary Harris cooled off a bit, 11 points, 4 for 9, shooting 3 for 6 from deep, 2 blocks for him. Really strong game for Gary Harris. I think he was guarding Bradley Beal for most of the night, did a good job on him, keeping him out of the game and keeping his scoring down. Bradley Beal's been on a scoring tear of late. Harris and Ross have been really reliable veterans for this team. They've both kind of come out of their early season funks. They're playing really, really, really well, and I think they deserve a lot of kudos and credit for the way that they play. Franz Wagner, 16 points, 6 for 13 shooting, 6 rebounds for him. A little bit of a slow start for Franz. Not so much the biggest impactful game, but he picked things up in the second half. I think did a good job finding his pockets to score. I know fans are a little upset with the shot count the last few games. Magic tried to make it a point to get him the ball early. He kind of struggled. I think he missed his first 3 shots as they tried to get him the ball. That's not really his game. I wouldn't try and get him the ball in the post or kind of force feed the ball to him. The ball has to find its way to him. I think you'll see this when the Magic's offense is working. Wagner will get his shots. I don't think you have to worry so much about finding him shots or necessarily running a ton of plays for him. I think he definitely should, but the ball will find him if the ball is moving because he makes such good decisions and makes himself available. So I think the biggest key to Franz is making sure the ball is moving. He plays only 28:45. I think the Magic are watching his minutes a little bit after he sprained his ankle against the Sixers on Wednesday. A lot of poor performances, though, in this one. Let's start with Cole Anthony. I'll talk a little bit more about him in a moment. 12 points, 4 for 17 shooting, 2 for 6 from beyond the arc, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Just not a very impactful game for Cole. At least like on Saturday, yes, Cole made mistakes and made some bad shot choices and bad game management choices. But he contributed also with his rebounding, with his passing. This game, it was just all the bad shot choices. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about Cole and his development as a point guard and his development as a game manager here coming up at the end of the show. But Cole cannot be an over dribbler. I think that's a big thing that he has to kind of understand right now. And I think, honestly, I think that's a big part of just the frustration that he's feeling with not being able to get this team over the hump. He knows he's a late game scorer. He knows he's a late game playmaker. He knows the Magic are going to put the ball in his hands in these late game situations, but he has to do a better job understanding that everyone else knows that. And if the shot isn't there for him, he's got to create it for others. And I think that's a big growth point for him for the rest of this season. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a moment. Mo Bamba, I think this is, with Wendell Carter out the last few games, this was a big opportunity for Mo Bamba to really cement himself. Again, this is just a 2-game sample, but Mo really, really struggled in this one. 10 points. He did have 9 rebounds, 3 for 11 shooting. Didn't really like his shot selection overall. 3 turnovers in this one. Mo played good defense. I thought Saturday against Detroit, blocked a couple shots, made some really nice defensive plays, made some really nice plays to kind of build himself up. But this game was just not anywhere near as good. This game was very, very unimpactful on both ends. The Wizards were just able to manhandle him on the glass. I know he had 9 rebounds, so it wasn't a complete loss on that end. But you look at Kyle Kuzma, 22 rebounds, including 20 defensive rebounds. Daniel Gafford had 4 offensive rebounds. 4 of his 5 are offensive rebounds. It wasn't a good game. And for me, the big thing with Mo is Mo's got to be an inside presence. He is a big body. He will block shots just by being near the ball. That's just going to happen. But he still needs to learn and understand that he is a big presence in the paint and is unwilling, is inability to post up consistently, his inability to just be in the paint and just work as a floor spacer. He's not a good enough shooter, to be frank, to be a floor spacer. You know, yes, he can make threes as a center, but that doesn't mean that's what he should be doing all the time. And I think he falls in love with a shot. And I, honestly, that's a problem the Magic have, is they're trying to run a five out offense essentially without five shooters. And while their centers can hit from the outside, they need to be in the paint. And Wendell does it a lot better than Mo. And I think Wendell has a long way to go on that. Mo needs to be more in the paint. He needs to live in the paint a lot more. And that just seems like something that he either is not able to do right now or isn't capable of doing right now. Those were the big scores for the Magic. Chuma Okeke also had 8 points, 3-for-12 shooting, 1-for-6 from beyond the arc, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. You know, if you take out Chuma Okeke's shooting numbers, Chuma's actually doing some good things. He's been a high steal guy all season. So he's active defensively, and I loved his defense in this game. But Chuma's got to find a shot. That's been the biggest thing with Chuma so far this year, is his shooting has just been so wayward. He did good with the starting minutes. I thought he played really, really well. I thought he played well again defensively, just not reliable offensively. And I think that's obviously a huge issue. The Magic, like I said, shoot 39.6% from the floor, 9-for-28 from beyond the arc. So unlike the Detroit game, they don't fall in love with the three-pointer. That wasn't the issue in this game. 15-for-16 from the foul line, but they were in the bonus for much of the fourth quarter. They were unable to get to the line. That would have been a big relief to a team that was struggling to score in the fourth quarter for a good chunk of it, as they gave away the lead. Only 7 turnovers too. So Orlando did a good job protecting the ball. This game just came down to kind of shooting. Washington shoots 40.9% from floor, 11-for-29 from beyond the arc. Bradley Beal scores 20 points on 7-for-22 shooting with 6 rebounds and 7 assists. Orlando does a good job against him. But Kyle Kuzma, the star of the game, 27 points, 22 rebounds, 10-for-19 shooting, 3-for-6 from beyond the arc. That was what really propelled the Wizards to the win. Washington defeats Orlando 102-100. Orlando will get a rematch up at Capital One Arena in D.C. on Wednesday night. So we'll see if the Magic can fix things there. We'll talk a little bit more about Cole Anthony and his development coming up here in just a moment. But first, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue the march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. There's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, you know, obviously, Cole Anthony has been really exciting. The Magic haven't had a guard with this kind of scoring instinct and scoring ability in a very, very long time. Jameer Nelson was a great scorer. He was not this, or he was not able to create his own shot quite like Cole Anthony is. And again, Jameer Nelson's an all-star player. Even if Cole Anthony becomes Jameer Nelson, we'll be very, very happy. This is not going to take away from any of that, because I think it's really important that we remember that Cole Anthony is 21 years old and in his second year in the NBA, or 20 years old and in his second year in the NBA. This is going to be a process. And frankly, I was disappointed over the weekend. You know, yes, Cole Anthony had 2 bad games. Saturday, by his own admission, was a bad game. I think he is very honest in his assessment of himself. He would say Sunday was not a good game for him. And I was very disappointed to see after those 2 games that there are fans who came out of the woodwork and were like, you know, the Magic need to get rid of Cole, or Cole needs to stop shooting and stop being, you know, so selfish. And, you know, again, Cole would agree with a lot. Cole would agree that he was a little too selfish. And again, it's, you can assess and say that, but now you got to be about it. Now you got to change it. Look, with a lot of I agree with everyone that, yes, Markelle Fultz would help a lot, especially with some of these late games. If Markelle Fultz comes back and he's anywhere near where he was in the 2020 season, He's going to be a big boost, even if the Magic just bring him off the bench for 15 minutes. You replace his minutes with Tim Frazier's minutes with Markelle Fultz. That bench unit's going to play a lot better. That's the truth. And a lot of the season, unfortunately, has been tough to evaluate because we don't have the full deck. We need to see Jonathan Isaac. We need to see Markelle Fultz. We need to see Jalen Suggs. The Magic are missing a lot of guys and a lot of really important players in this process. And so, yes, there's still a lot, that we're waiting on and a lot that can change and a lot with this roster that we just don't know. But it is also really important to remember that this is a really young group. Cole Anthony is in his second year. He is nowhere near a finished product. He is nowhere near being what he's going to be. And we've seen enough positive signs this year. We've seen enough positive play this year for us to say with some confidence that Cole Anthony is going to continue to get better, that Cole Anthony can be a really impactful player in whatever role you put him in. Now, obviously, the role that he's got to learn to be better at and learn to be to improve on is as a game manager and a point guard. The criticism that Cole Anthony got coming out of college was that he was a gunner, and the fact that he's a scoring point guard, which, some people don't like. Some people don't like their point guards to be scorers first. But the fact that he was a scoring guard coming out of college kind of built up this reputation that he was all about himself, or he's just going to shoot, and that's all he was going to do. And frankly, that was unfounded. Once he got to the league, once he got with the Magic, yes, he's looking to score. That's always going to be part of his DNA, and that shouldn't change. That's what got him into the league. But I think the Magic discovered, or he, as he played, they understood that, like, look, no, this guy is not that. This guy is about his teammates. He's about the team and about trying to, he's obviously trying to get himself better, but he wants to be about his guys too. He's an ultimate teammate. And that's why Magic fans have largely fallen in love with him. Because A, he's got bravado, which I think you need a little bit of, but B, he is willing to go to bat for his guys and for a rebuild where there's a lot of negativity. Cole Anthony has been surprisingly positive. And obviously his scoring numbers, he's averaging around 20 points per game. He's at like 6 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game. His effective field goal percentage has dipped under 50%. So shooting started to slow down a little bit. He's gone through a little bit of a cold spurt. And obviously the last 2 games have not helped. He's still a very, very capable player. And obviously, right now the Magic don't have to make decisions on anyone. I've gotten some fake trade requests or trade inquiries from other fans. We're like, is Markelle Fultz available? Are you looking to trade one of your guards? And I'm like, no. Right now, the Magic don't need to worry about that. That's not a decision they have to make yet. Cole is doing all the right things. He's saying all the right things. And he's put himself in a position where he can continue to make an impact for this team. Now, where Cole needs to improve on is as the table setter and as the playmaker. His passing has gotten a lot better, but I think his court vision and his ability to run the point still need improvement. And again, it's his second year in the league. It's okay. We're not expecting him to be a perfect player. We need him to understand where he needs to improve and to see him make strides in that. And honestly, with his passing and playmaking, we have seen strides. He's gotten a lot better at it since his rookie year. He had a strong close to his rookie season as a playmaker, as a passer, in addition to as a scorer. And I think people kind of forgot about that. And this year, he's been a much better playmaker too. He's been a lot better. But these last 2 games really showed how far he still has to go. You need your point guard when everything's kind of falling apart around you to be able to set the table. You need your point guard to be able to find a point, find some points when the team is struggling to shoot, find an easy basket, create an easy basket. And the reality is, Cole Anthony is a good ball handler. He's a good dribbler. He's good at setting up his own shot. But unfortunately, he's not always great at getting to the basket. He sometimes needs a screen to get himself open, to spring him free. And he's very good at using and manipulating screens. I think there's a stat out there that he rejects screens more than any other player in the league. I think teams are starting to figure that out. So he's going to have to start taking some screens. And not having Wendell Carter and his screening really hurt him the last few games. But Cole Anthony can at times settle for jumpers. And again, that's a big issue. And he can, again, at times get caught in his own head, especially late in games where Magic put a lot of trust in him. And I think that's the biggest area of growth for Cole. Again, he's doing a lot of things really, really well. I'm not – this is constructive criticism. This isn't me harping on the guy. But the last two games, you know, Cole admitted after Saturday's game, he's got to do a better job keeping Franz involved. He didn't do a good enough job getting Franz shots. He's got to do a better job setting others up. I think being down such a key offensive player and, frankly, a playmaker like Wendell. Wendell is a big part of this team's offense as a high post fulcrum. Being without him, I think Cole tried to take on a little too much responsibility and tried to do too much. And again, so much of this league is about simplifying things. It's about keeping it as simple as you can. Yes, they're going to throw complex defensive schemes at you. Yes, they're going to make you think that if you overthink, you get in trouble. When you try to play chess when they're playing checkers or do too much, you get crushed. You get killed. And I think that's what happened over these last two games where, you know, Cole tried to do too much. He tried to be the shot maker. He tried to be the hero. And frankly, that's not what the Magic need. The Magic need ball movement. They need to get the ball moving. And so Cole, you know, yes, come downhill. If the path and lane's there, take it. If not, pass it. Move the ball. Too often late in these games, Cole's gotten stuck. Just over dribbling. And that has to be something that changes. That cannot be the case for this Magic team. Again, Cole's going to figure it out. You know, like so many of these young guys, they're going to figure it out. And these last two games, yes, you know, not having Cole Anthony playing at his best hurt them and hurt them big time. They're going to struggle to win games if Cole Anthony's not scoring and scoring effectively. That's just the reality of this roster. And so Cole remains a really important player, not only for this year, but for this team's future. But he's going to learn and he's going to grow from this. If there's one thing we've learned about Cole Anthony is that he is up to the challenge and that he's going to continue to take on all this information and take criticism to heart and take constructive criticism to heart. He's been really good at that the last two seasons. There's no reason to think that will change anytime soon. And when that changes, when he starts to turn the corner on that, starts to kind of pick up his playmaking and his point guard and game management a little bit better, then he's going to be a really, really dangerous player once again. He's already a dangerous player, but he's going to be a really, really, really dangerous player at that point. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Subscribe to the podcast and Apple Podcasts. Stitcher, TuneIn, Himalaya, Google Play, Spotify, Odyssey. All of them ways to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. You can find me on Twitter at @PhilipR_Amin, of course, for the latest on the Orlando Magic. Be sure to check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow us there on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. Thank you for making Locked On Magic part of your day every day. Tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit more about where the Magic stand at the midpoint of the season. Do some midseason review coming up on tomorrow's episode. But gal, go make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by Boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode of Locked On Magic. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Phil Rossman-Wright. We'll see you all again next time for another episode of Locked On Magic.